How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. We got a lot to get into here today, and I am solo here on Black Friday. And that means that today on the program, I am going to be taking your phone calls and your text messages. Yes, open lines here on a holiday weekend edition of the show. If you would like to give us a call here today, if you've got something on your mind, 1-800-878-PLAY. That is 1-800-878-7529. 1-800-878-7529. If you head to the front page of WrestlingObserver.com, all of these numbers are available there for you. Text message number 425-780-7566. You can send me a text message if you don't want to call. Or if you're not good on the phone, just send me a text message. You can also email me, Brian@WrestlingObserver.com. I am on Twitter @BrianAlvarez. Want to start out today by saying that unless something shocking happens, which I don't expect it to, ratings for AEW and NXT are not going to be available until Monday. And it's a very interesting, Wednesday because NXT is coming off WWE pushing them to the moon over Survivor Series weekend. The whole point of Survivor Series weekend was to get NXT over. And obviously, they wanted to get NXT over because, as I noted in a tweet at the end of Survivor Series, NXT wins because Vince McMahon doesn't like to lose. And so, clearly, the idea going into Wednesday is, by all rights, NXT should win on Wednesday night. Now, what's interesting is the Raw show should have gotten a pay-per-view bump. The AEW show appears to have gotten a pay-per-view bump last week. But Raw did not get a pay-per-view bump. Raw started low, it stayed low, and it was the second lowest-rated non-holiday Raw in history. So I have no idea what the ratings are going to be on Wednesday, and I cannot wait to find out. But we have to wait until Cyber Monday. Back in a moment to kick off the show, Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez and Brian Alvarez here today. No Mike Sempervivi, no Jim Valley. It's a holiday weekend. I'm here all by myself on the program here today. And so if you'd like to join us, the numbers 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. Text messages 425-780-7566. Brian@WrestlingObserver.com, @BrianAlvarez on Twitter. All of these numbers are on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. And also on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com, with the Wednesday night wrestling wars in full swing and major news and storylines emerging around the world every single week, it is a perfect time to become a Wrestling Observer Figure 4 online subscriber. If you are a past subscriber or a new subscriber, take advantage of our Black Friday sale of a one-month subscription for just $3.99. Normally, it is $11.99 per month for this subscription, but you can get it today only for $3.99. What do you get for $3.99? Daily podcasts. We have over 12 different podcasts. There's about 20 podcasts every single week that come out of the website. We have 11,000 hours of archived podcasts. Virtually every single podcast that we have done since 2005 is available in the archives right now. We have got Wrestling Observer Radio, myself and Dave Meltzer, Filthy Four Daily with former UFC star, current MLW star, former MLW champion, multi-time world champion, Filthy Tom Lawler. Ad-free versions, no commercials of Wrestling Observer Live with myself, Mike Sempervivi, Jim Valley. Brian, Vinny, and Craig Show, which is the Tuesday night show covering Retro Raw Nitro from 19 years ago this week. Tonight, if you sign up, Vinny and I are going to be doing a Friday night show covering the AEW and NXT shows from this past Wednesday. We've also got Wrestling Weekly, the Big Audio Nightmare, the Dragon King Carl Show, After Dark with Carl Stern. That is the Carl Stern version of the former Art Bell Show. We've got Wrestling Weekly, the Big Audio Nightmare is noted, Josh Nason's Punch Out, Jim Valley's Pacific Rim Show, the Portland WrestleCast, and more. About 20 new shows every single week. This is not a website where, hey, we do a podcast every week. Sometimes I do three podcasts every single day. 11,000 shows in the archives. Every week, the new Wrestling Observer newsletter, 35 to 40,000 words of news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. I'm sure you see some of this all over the internet. Why not read the entire 35,000-word Observer every week and become an expert in professional wrestling and mixed martial arts? We got Figure Four weekly newsletter, digest of weekly opinion, wrestling from around the world, Joseph Courier, Ollie Corden, and more. And, of course, the archive. There's thousands of Observers in the archives. There's thousands of Figure Four weeklies in the archives. As I said, 11,000 audio shows. You get full access. All of this, every single bit of this, for $3.99. So if you think about it, my life's work over the last 15 years, for $3.99, you have access to 11,000 podcasts, thousands of Observers, all of that, $3.99. It is today only. You can head up to WrestlingObserver.com and sign up right now. The link is up there on my Twitter as well if you'd like to sign up that way. So do not miss out, everybody. If you like this show, if you like Wrestling Observer Live, I guarantee, I promise you, that you will love a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. So sign up today and don't miss out, because you will be sad if Saturday morning comes and you realize, I should have done this. It was only $3.99. On that subject, for those of you that collect wrestling memorabilia and maybe belts or whatever, are you doing any wrestling Black Friday shopping besides this website? If so, I'd like to hear about it. What kind of specials have you found? Have you found some specials on WWE.com or maybe various streaming services? What are you spending your Black Friday dollars on that are wrestling related? I would tell you, but I don't have anything. Normally, I spend my money on audio equipment, believe it or not. And there are a lot of great specials up there at Sweetwater. But of course, everything that I want is not on sale. And everything that I have is already on sale. Because that's how it always works. Somewhat slow weekend. We have got the Starrcade show coming up on Sunday, December 1st, Duluth, Georgia. It is one of those WWE house shows where there's two matches that you're going to get to see, and the rest of it, you've got to travel to Duluth, Georgia, if you want to see, for example, The New Day versus The Revival for the SmackDown Tag Team titles. The dark matches, the matches you cannot see, we have The Fiend, Bray Wyatt versus Braun Strowman. We have Roman Reigns versus King Corbin, Seth Rollins versus Eric Rowan, Shinsuke Nakamura, Sami Zayn, and The Miz. In a handicap match, it's Shinsuke Nakamura and Sami Zayn facing The Miz. That's for the Intercontinental title. And the matches you will get to see on the WWE Network, which somewhat surprises me, we have got the Kabuki Warriors, Asuka and Kairi Sane, versus Becky Lynch and Charlotte, Bayley and Sasha, and Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. So it's a Fatal 4-Way Women's Tag Team title. That's a match that doesn't surprise me to get on this WWE Network special. But we are also getting Rusev versus Bobby Lashley in a Last Man Standing match. Now, this is interesting because they've been building this feud up for a while now. If you've been watching Raw, unfortunately, you've seen all of this. And the idea was that this match was going to be at Survivor Series. And then at some point, as they were putting the card together, I guess the realization hit people that, my God, we've got a Raw 5-on-5-on-5, Raw, SmackDown, NXT for the men. We got Raw, SmackDown, NXT for the women 5-on-5-on-5. That's between 11 and 14 falls. And then we've got the other three ways. I mean, there's just no room for this match. And so the idea was, well, let's move this match to TLC. Give it a little more time, make it a featured match at the TLC pay-per-view. And then lo and behold, it's just going to be on this Starrcade show. So my guess is that what they're going to do is probably, I would guess, Lana interferes, Lashley beats him, and they build up to the rematch at TLC, which, I don't know, it could be a TLC match. Maybe they'll hang Lana from the ceiling, but it's just kind of interesting that the very first Rusev versus Lashley match, and I realize they've done all sorts of craziness and stuff on Raw, but they're starting with a Last Man Standing match. And so they're starting with that, and you're going to get to see it on Starrcade, which, quite frankly, it's a holiday weekend. And I know about holiday weekends. There's going to be nobody watching this show. So I am very surprised that they're giving this one away for free on the Starrcade show. Let's go to Jaime. Jaime, you're on the air. What is going on? Let's get a good one here today.
Hey, how's it going, Brian? I think I was listening to your review on the men's War Games match with Dave, and I think you were criticizing some of the setup, and I think I saw some of that in the women's War Games match too, because it started out with Candice and Io. And Io, even though she's miscast as a heel, she's like a baby face. But either way, she was supposed to be a heel and being cheered a lot, but she was just straight up beating up Candice LeRae, the baby face. Like, how is she supposed to get cheered if she's straight up getting beat up, like, one-on-one? And then when the other heel comes in, that's when she makes a comeback. Like, storytelling-wise, it didn't really make a lot of sense. You get me?
Well, Jaime, I want to thank you very much for the call. Here's the thing. If you want to watch WWE and you want to look for gotcha moments, like, oh, this doesn't make sense, and, I don't know why they did this. I mean, you're going to find them everywhere. Like, I know that I do this show and I bring up a lot of things that don't make sense, but let me tell you something. I do not watch Raw and SmackDown. I don't watch any wrestling show looking for things that don't make sense, because I when I watch Raw and SmackDown, I just want to enjoy the show. I think a lot of people don't understand that. I want to enjoy the show. Sometimes people nitpick certain things, and I mean, you can, but I mean, if it's just something little that doesn't play into anything, then I don't think that matters. But my problem is, when I watch the shows to enjoy them, these things come up which hurt my enjoyment of the show, and that's why I rant about it. We can talk about this more after the break. Wrestling Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. No Mike Sempervivi, no Jim Valley. I am going solo here today. So if you'd like to be my co-host, you're welcome to give us a call. The phone number, 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. We have phone lines open right now. So if you call now, you'll be on this program here today. 425-780-7566. If you have any text messages, you can email me, Brian, at WrestlingObserver.com, at Brian Alvarez on Twitter. And as noted, if you go up to my Twitter right now, at Brian Alvarez, there's the link where you can grab a full month of the Wrestling Observer website, full access to everything, including those 11,000 archived shows for just $3.99. So head up there and check that out, and do not miss out, because we got shows coming up tonight. What did you think of AEW and NXT this week? Who do you think, in terms of show quality, won the Wednesday night war this past Wednesday? I really liked the Chris Jericho opening segment. I really liked the Kenny Omega Pac match. And I really liked the Jericho championship defense against Scorpio Sky in the main event. With that said, then this may be a spoiler for tonight. I'll make my decision after I review both shows in detail with Vinny. But I think that in terms of show quality, I think I enjoyed NXT better this week. So we'll do that tonight on the Brian DeVinny Show. You can listen with a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. No AEW NXT ratings yet. They're coming up probably on a Monday. If they do come out today, which I don't think they will because of the holiday weekend, they would be out at about 4:30 Eastern. And I fully expect them not to be out until Monday. But we don't have those numbers, but we do have the numbers for the WWE Backstage show. Following last week's episode that featured a heavily promoted appearance by CM Punk, Tuesday's edition of WWE Backstage on FS1 averaged 121,000 viewers, down from 180,000 last week. An appearance by Triple H was the most promoted aspect from this week's show, as CM Punk was not advertised to appear. This week's panel featured Renee Young, Christian, Paige, Samoa Joe, and Booker T. The show drew a 0.05 in the 18 to 49 demo, placing it 125th in the demo for the day on cable. So, I mean, the good news if you want to say this is good news, is they did crack the top 150. A preview episode, which aired on October 16th, did 597,000 viewers. And a second episode that aired after a special edition of SmackDown did 426,000 viewers. So a couple of weeks ago, November 12th, the show did 100,000 viewers. And the week after, when CM Punk appeared, it did 180,000 viewers. And I had a lot of people that were going, oh my God, look at how great this is. I mean, they've grown so much because of CM Punk. I guess forgetting that the preview episodes of this program did 600,000 and 426,000 respectively. So when you look at it from that perspective, 180,000 wasn't that impressive. Now, they did not advertise CM Punk for this show. So I don't know how many of these 120,000 tuned in expecting CM Punk, but I guess we'll see. The next time he's on, is the show going to settle in around 100,000? My guess is that it is going to settle in around 100,000. I think even when CM Punk is on the show, I think it's going to average around 100, 120,000. And I mean, if you would have told me a year ago that CM Punk is going to return to a show covering WWE wrestling. I mean, if you want to argue it's a WWE show, you can, but it's not. It's a Fox show. I don't want to get into that again. But if you'd have told me that there was going to be a WWE backstage show where they talked about WWE with WWE stars on it, everybody from Samoa Joe to Triple H to all of these other people that have made appearances here on the show, and that CM Punk was going to be hired to be a regular on the show, and the show was going to average 120,000 viewers, I would have been shocked. But that appears to be the direction we're heading. I guess we're going to find out when he appears on the program again. Let's do a couple of these text messages here. You can send your text message to 425-780-7566. This person says, what a great friend you are for Filthy, saying there's no wrestling on Thanksgiving when he was featured heavily on MLW's Thanksgiving episode. Well, I apologize. I mean, part of the problem is I don't get being sports. And so anytime that I'm going to watch MLW, I've got to watch MLW on demand. So to me, MLW isn't even on Thursdays. I watch MLW when I can watch MLW. I apologize for that. I mean, it's basically, it was the same thing with Impact. Like, whatever day Impact aired, I couldn't get the channel. So to me, it was just on demand whenever I watch it. But yes, there was MLW on Thanksgiving on Thursday night. And not only was Filthy Tom on it, but Filthy Tom turned heel. Can you imagine? So there you go. Check it out. However you check out MLW. This person here said the preview episodes had big lead-ins and were not in the regular time slot, so those numbers don't count. The 180,000 on FS1 was a good number. Stop distorting the facts to prove your point, please. Dude, there were big lead-ins, but there were 600,000 people watching the show the first week. I mean, when we do the Raw numbers, when we do the AEW numbers, I mean, I sit here and I say, listen, you don't need to read too much into this, but I don't sit here and tell you these numbers don't count. All of the numbers count. That's it. The numbers count. Listen, the ratings may not matter to you. The ratings may not matter to your buddies. If you do a podcast, you may not care about the ratings. But let me tell you who cares about the ratings. FS1, TNT, the USA Network, Fox. These networks that are paying big money to WWE and to AEW and presumably to other promotions like MLW, they care about the numbers. They don't care if you care. At the end of the day, if this FS1 show needs a big lead-in in order to do good numbers, if this show drops to 49,000 or 35,000 or 20,000, then you can come on here and you can tell me, I don't care about the numbers, Brian. I just enjoy the show. Well, there may not be a show for you to enjoy because the history of wrestling is littered with promotions that I was told, just shut up and enjoy the show. Just shut up and enjoy the show. And then the show got canceled. And then nobody can enjoy the show. So yes, these numbers do matter. 180,000 is good for this show, but it's not that good. I realize that not a lot of people watch FS1, but it's not a blowaway number. It's probably good for that time slot at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock p.m. on a Tuesday. But that was, it's just like, I had to hear this from everybody about AEW. And of course, the AEW fans said the same thing about NXT. Well, the show debuted at 1.4 million. Now it's down to 900,000. Where are all those viewers? Well, those viewers showed up for the first week and they were never going to watch the show. It happens with every show on television. The Brady Bunch reunion, 90210, all of those. Every single show. A lot of people tune in the first week and they have no intention of ever watching the show again. It's where the show settles in. So, yes, CM Punk debuted and a lot of people tuned in that first week. Do I expect the next time that he's on the show it to do 180,000? No. I would be very surprised if it did 180,000 because that was the first week. Just like the first week of AEW, just like the first week of NXT, just like the first week of SmackDown on Fox, just like the first week of everything. That was a good number, and those people watched it, and they have no intention of watching it again. So we'll see where things go from here. This person here says, to be fair, I believe both preview shows had much better time slots. First one had the lead-in at 9:30. The second had the SmackDown lead-in at 10. Yes, obviously, that helped. But there were 600,000 people willing to watch that show with a good lead-in. Where are those people? That's a big drop. A drop from 1.4 million to 900,000, or with the USA Network NXT, a drop from 1.1 million to 600,000. Those are big drops. I mean, we're talking a drop from 600,000 to 49,000. That's a big drop. Isn't 100,000 at 11 p.m. on a Tuesday good for FS1? Yeah, it's good. But they had 49,000 viewers a while there. Why are we arguing about ratings? We're going to see where the show ends up. I don't know where it's going to end up. It may end up at 500,000 viewers. I don't know. But it got as low as 49,000. And then CM Punk showed up and got up to 180. And then it was 120,000 the week after. And I would guess that, like a lot of people, I would guess that a fair number of people that watched the CM Punk episode expected him to be there the next week. I realize they advertised that he wouldn't be there in advance, but like they didn't advertise that on the actual show. So we'll see what it does next week. This person here says, looking at the like-dislike ratio for the latest NWA Power show on YouTube, how do you see them getting momentum back in time for the pay-per-view? I don't think they're getting momentum back in time for the pay-per-view. I mean, this whole Jim Cornette thing, I think, soured a lot of people on NWA Power. I mean, that was a big one for a lot of people. And whatever you think about Jim Cornette, I mean, he was a very important part of that show. And now he's gone. They edited him out of a lot of segments on the show. I think it soured a lot of people. And we'll see where NWA Power goes from here. Back in a moment, Observer Live. Back on the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Going solo here today. We got two callers on the line. Going to go to those in just a moment. If you go to my Twitter, at Brian Alvarez, two things. First off, our Black Friday special, a full month of WrestlingObserver.com for just $3.99, 11,000 episodes, thousands of observers, full access to everything in our members area for just $3.99. And the other thing, I don't do this a lot, but every day I say things on this show and they end up online. And sometimes they're accurate, sometimes they're not, but sometimes they're like painfully inaccurate. And this is one of them. So I got to jump on this one because this story has actually been going around for like 3 weeks now. And I've kind of ignored it. But now it's like snowballing. So let me make this abundantly clear. There's a Forbes article here by some fella named Blake, just came out today. And the headline is, WWE is reportedly considering a mass release of superstars for early 2020. It says here, according to WrestleTalk, Quote, it was reported a few weeks ago by Brian Alvarez on Wrestling Observer Radio that he had been told that WWE could be considering releasing a number of wrestlers. While this is yet to take place, the latest rumor making the rounds is that it could be happening in the new year ahead of Royal Rumble and WrestleMania season, end quote. I never said anything approaching that. If I recall correctly, the day that Eric Bischoff was fired, I said there may be more to come. I never said the word releases. I was talking about regarding the Eric Bischoff situation, who was going to be placed where on creative, shuffling things up in the back, okay? Somebody took that quote and in brackets, they added the word released, which I never said. That story went out, and now, like a game of telephone, the story has turned into, I have reported that between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, there will be a mass release of wrestlers. I never said anything approaching that. So hopefully this Blake fella can take this down, and anybody else who's taking this and writing stories about it from Forbes, quoting WrestleTalk, which I don't even know where they got their story, stop. I never said that. Holy smokes. It's out of control now. All right. Let's go to the phones. Evan, you're on the air. What's going on?
Hi. First, I just wanted to say I'm a big fan. Love all the stuff you do. Thanks for all the quality content.
Thank you.
I just had a thought I kind of wanted to pick your brain on. It's about wrestling entrance music, and I feel like it's kind of this fight game thing where the reason fight game character designs are so sleek and eye-catching, it's because they have a second to catch your interest and sell you on a character. And I want to say I'm a huge AEW fan, but I felt like their music has been pretty lackluster, unless it's like a holdover like Cody's theme or Chris Jericho's theme. It's kind of been the Randy Newman of wrestling. It's just yelling the name of the group over and over again. I just haven't been impressed with any of their stuff.
What do you think of the new WWE themes by CFO?
I haven't been keeping up with WWE enough to keep up with their new music, but I always remember it's kind of just Kevin Owens' theme over and over again.
All right, well, listen, Evan, I want to thank you very much for the call. So you're not the only guy that has not been happy with the AEW themes, and like I don't think about it much one way or the other. The only time I really think about themes is if a theme is really good, I like it. And there's certain themes that like are just absolutely god awful and I hate them. But like I don't really think much about the music. But a lot of people do. Like, hey, some people are very upset when WWE took away the pyro. Like people saying, I'm never going to watch this show again now that they got rid of pyro. And then when they brought back the pyro, they were like, oh, I can start watching SmackDown again. There's pyro. It's like, that's what got you watching and not watching WWE was pyro? But anyway, Jim Johnson, I will say, was great at themes because every theme was totally different and every theme was like very much all about the wrestler that it represented. Like, it's just like an obvious one here, but like the Mountie theme. I mean, the Mountie theme was not a generic theme at all. Like the Mountie theme, no one else is getting the Mountie theme. It's only for the Mountie. Same with like the Demolition theme and a lot of these. It's like, you saw the wrestler, and the music was a very important part of the wrestler's character. And now that we've got CFO doing music, I mean, some people really like it, but a lot of people have that same complaint. It's like, okay, well, take anybody's music and give it to anybody else. And like in probably 80% of the cases, you could do that. They're interchangeable themes. A lot of them are the same. I've heard a lot of people complain about the AEW themes. Doesn't really bother me. I mean, part of it, I think, is whether you like the theme or not, if the theme is associated with the wrestler long enough, you're going to get the Pavlovian response when the music hits. And maybe a lot of people will find it to be that way for AEW. Maybe they won't. I mean, doesn't really bug me too much, but I can understand if that's something that you grew up with as part of the package and now you feel that they're just nothing happening, interchangeable songs. That's a valid criticism. Ahmed, you're on the air. What's going on?
Hey, man. Keep up the good work.
Kuwait City, right?
So I just want to... Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm calling from Kuwait. It's almost midnight right now.
Oh, my God. Well, thank you very much. What's going on?
Yeah, I just wanted to get, to mention two things, if you allow me, please. I'm really looking forward for the ratings results. I believe on Monday they will come because of Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
The first segment of AEW versus NXT, I was surprised of the opinion, like you and Dave, how the discussion came. Like, Dave didn't like it, the AEW segment. And I was leaning towards your opinion that NXT was kind of corny. Like, they finished the pay-per-view with a bang, but the first minutes of the show was like a corny song, corny celebration. On the other hand, AEW's segment was kind of interesting, kind of funny. So I'm really looking forward for the ratings. That's the first thing I was going to mention. And the other thing is, in 1997, when the WWF came to Kuwait, my country, and the Vader incident happened on live TV.
Yes.
Where he, like, yeah. I'm like, I really wanted to know how was that received in the U.S. and was it covered in the Observer or was it like a big deal?
Oh, yeah. Yes. I want to thank you very much for the call. I'll talk about it off the air here. But yes, Vader, if I recall correctly, Vader was on Good Morning Kuwait, I believe was the name of the show. And he kind of got into a little bit of a tussle. It was, you know, he was just being in character or everything like that. But I don't remember all of the details. But I mean, it was a big deal in Kuwait. It was covered here in this country. I believe that he was detained there for a while. And if I recall correctly, like, he was scared out of his mind. And I'll try and get some details here after a while. But yeah, it was covered in the U.S. It was absolutely covered in the Observer at the time. But it did get some mainstream publicity here as well. It was a pretty big story. So yes, Vader on Good Morning Kuwait. The opening segments on NXT and AEW. I mean, the Jericho thing apparently is like a love-hate thing with a lot of people. Like, some people love it, some people hate it. I really liked it. I'll be interested to hear what Vinny thought about it because it was very long. I mean, some people compared it to like the Festival of Friendship in a negative way. I thought everybody loved the Festival of Friendship. I thought that Jericho's championship celebration, maybe it went a little bit too long, but I was surprised that Dave didn't like it because, you know, Dave will often say, well, I didn't think the match was very good, but the crowd loved it. And so you've got to play to your audience. And like, is that not exactly what happened in that Jericho segment? I mean, the crowd was into that thing from start to finish. They were eating it up. Jericho's dad, I mean, he wasn't a great promo, but he's there burying the hockey team and the fans are furious. And there were so many creative things in the segment. I mean, everything all the way down to, you know, Chris Daniels when SCU ran in, he puts a $1 million dream on the former Virgil. Like, did no one else notice that? I love that. So I thought it was great. I've seen a million, like, people comparing it to, it was like, you know, Bobby Lashley and the Three Sisters. I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? This was not even in the universe of Bobby Lashley and his sisters. But I thought it was great. What I didn't like about the opening of NXT, I liked... There were aspects of it that I really liked. They basically had this celebration, and I forget... I can actually get the guy's name here, but, you know, they had somebody out there who was rapping, and let's see if I can find it here. I've got the whole deal. It was... and watch people be furious at me for not knowing his name off the top of my head, but Josiah Williams is out there. He's rapping. The fans are going crazy. It's basically a celebration because NXT won at Survivor Series. And the only thing that I didn't like about it is that I understand that they won. And I understand that it was like babyfaces and heels teaming up to beat NXT or to beat SmackDown and Raw on Survivor Series. But they just have all of these babyfaces and all of these heels. And they're all out there celebrating together, and like the Forgotten Sons are out there just kind of marching around, and they're there with the bit. I just thought it was so corny. I mean, listen, if they would not have had a victory celebration, I would have been furious. They have to have a victory celebration. They beat Raw and SmackDown at Survivor Series. They proved that they were the A brand. I just thought it was corny the way that they did it. That was my problem. I did not have a problem with there being a celebration. There needed to be a celebration. But I just thought that the way they went about it was just a little bit corny. So that was my thoughts on the opening segment. As noted, tonight, Vinny and I are going to be recapping both shows. So if you want our thoughts on NXT and AEW in depth, we usually go like 90 minutes reviewing these two shows. Well, you can sign up for our $3.99 special right now at WrestlingObserver.com. Let's see what else we got here in the text message bin. Got a couple more minutes here. Count me as one of those people who could care less about the FS1 show until CM Punk arrived. Now, I will watch when he's on, but that's about it. And this person says, the only great AEW theme is the Young Bucks. Love that track. Kenny's on the other hand, I don't dig it. And he adds, anyone who doesn't like the Jericho celebration or the Festival of Friendship, they're insane. What is wrong with Dave? Well, I mean, to be fair, like, there was a lot of, there were many things about it that Dave liked. I mean, he actually rattled off this giant list of things that he liked about it, and then he said he didn't like it. So I guess he thought it was too long. Didn't think Jericho's dad's great promo, but it's his dad. He's not a great promo. So, I mean, what do you expect? It's a guy's dad. But I thought he did fine. The fans ate it up, so I liked it. This person here says, I said the same thing last year. F4W is my favorite. $11 spent a month. $3.99, an absolute deal for the amount of content. Thank you for all that you do. I did not make that text message up, by the way. That was right here in the bin. So I very much appreciate that, whoever sent that to me. Do you know when Samoa Joe will be back from injury? No, I don't. But, I mean, it depends on the injury. I know it's his hand. Is it his thumb? Is it a broken bone? Is it a ligament? If it's a ligament, it could be a while. I mean, I think Joe is, what is he now, 40? All I know is I had a ligament injury when I was 42, and it wasn't healed till I was 44. That sucked. Back in a moment, Observer Live. All right, here's the Vader story. So it was 1997, April 1997, there was a tour of Kuwait, and Vader and The Undertaker were on Good Morning Kuwait with host Bassam Al-Atham. And basically the host asked them if wrestling was fake. And The Undertaker, who was the champion, gave this diplomatic answer. And they go to Vader, and Vader said something to the effect of, the WWF champion is a diplomatic fella, but I'm not. And he stands up, he flips over the interview table, he grabs Bassam Al-Atham by the tie, and he screams something, does this feel effing faked? You actually said the F word. And he ended up detained. They took him to jail. The host did not know that this was coming. They charged him with assault and, I believe, obscenity. And if I recall correctly, there was a religious holiday, and so the courts were not open. And so Vader was detained for 2 weeks. And the entire time, WWE was getting news every single day about Vader being detained in Kuwait, and they wouldn't let him go home. And finally, at the end of the day, he was fined the equivalent of, I believe, $164 and allowed to go back home. But the story was definitely covered here. It was definitely covered in The Observer. It was a big story, obviously a big story in Kuwait. And that is Vader on Good Morning Kuwait. So there you go. He claimed that he was under orders from the producers and that the host was unaware. But one way or the other, that's the story. Hey, we are completely out of time. Don't forget, if you go up to the front page of WrestlingObserver.com right now, our Black Friday special, a full month of unlimited access to WrestlingObserver.com for just $3.99. 11,000 shows, new shows every day, including tonight with myself and Vinny. 20 new podcasts every week. All sorts of great stuff, Wrestling Observer newsletters and more. We are out of time. Thanks, Mike, as always. Callers and listeners, Jim, Scott, everybody in the studio, Dom, we'll talk to you next time. Happy Thanksgiving, Wrestling Observer Live.